We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
The following is an encore of Business Talk with Jim Campbell, a Park City Productions 06604 presentation.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. Was a leading hedge fund manager falsely accused of insider trading by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, led by Preet Bharara, ruining his business and reputation. We'll look into whether there was prosecutorial overreach from the hedge fund manager himself and the investigative journalist on the story. David Ganik ran the $4 billion global hedge fund, was accused of insider trading in the network around Steve Cohen's SAC Capital. Bethany McLean has been on the show to discuss her excellent book on the financial crash of 08, All the Devils Are Here, the Hidden History of the Financial Crisis, also co-author with another friend of the show, Peter Elkind, of one of the great business books ever, The Smartest Guys in the Room, The Amazing Rise and Scandalous Fall of Enron. More recently, we had her on for Shaky Ground, The Strange Saga of the U.S. Mortgage Giants about Fannie and Freddie. And this interview stems from a piece she's just done in Fortune magazine called Payback Time. Welcome, Bethany and David. Good to have both of you guys. First of all, David, there's a sense that it takes a lot of guts to take on the feds, or you're nuts to take on the feds. How do you feel about that?
I think that's a fair statement. most of the people close to me in my life strongly discouraged me from doing it just because of that. The amount of sort of underlying fear to, as Bethany said, to poke the bear is incredible. If I didn't possess the facts that I have, I couldn't move forward. But on top of the facts, you also need resources and you need will. The will is the part that takes the risk.
All right. Very interesting. Bethany, start off giving us a little bit of background. Tell us David's story for those that don't know it.
Well, so in the fall of 2010, in the midst of this insider trading investigation, the Southern District of New York's attempt to get a number of hedge fund traders on insider trading, David's firm was very publicly raided, and there was a reporter there who took pictures as the firm was raided. And although David was never charged, but because his office was searched as part of the search warrant, he couldn't reassure his investors that he was innocent, and he ended up losing his business as a result. And there was this swirl about him for a long time that, oh, he's going to be charged at any moment. But he never was. And then it came out after the fact that the search warrant that authorized the search of his business had incorrect information in it. And you just don't want to see that happen. It should never happen. There should never be a mistake in an affidavit like that. So it raises this question of whether prosecutors were overly aggressive in some of their attempts to get people for insider trading.
David, it's illegal for the prosecutors, the feds, to leak information, particularly about whether it's grand jury testimony or publicly. Was that done in your case, do you believe?
I don't think that they leaked grand jury information, but during the course of the case, there were several leaks. The press was always well ahead of the facts that were public, and the part of it that Bethany referred to, the fact that they did this raid of a going concern. On that day, they conducted three raids. There were over $10 billion of institutional assets under management at those three firms. And when you conduct a raid, you really should be walking people out with handcuffs. In this case, They didn't arrest somebody for 15 months, and ultimately no conviction stood from the raid. And the leaks to the press were really done to dramatize the show of force against Wall Street, which, if you remember, came at, you know, in the 2010 timeframe, which was just in the shadows of Too Big to Fail, and immense political pressure on prosecutors for Wall Street scalps, particularly given that they couldn't get any of the kind of bankers most closely associated with the collapse of the system.
Can you take us through what it felt like to walk in and find that your offices were being raided, and just the visceral feeling of what it was like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing to explain. You know, I made my career as a risk manager. So, you know, you can't be a successful hedge fund manager or any type of financial asset manager if you're not always considering risks. And I must admit, this was a risk I never considered. The idea that, you know, it's just something that was so far outside of the box, it was actually stunning would be an understatement. It took me quite a long time to actually digest it. Maybe I'm not even sure I've completely even digested it 6 years later. But it's this surreal moment when it's like right out of a movie, I would say, where you can't believe what's happening. And those blue jackets, you know, were able to destroy 25 years of a career in a nanosecond, and many of the lives of the people who worked with me and for me.
Let me ask you this. Now, Bethany says in the article that you have a great reputation for integrity. You didn't get close to the line, the edge. You were tough on some of your people, but not a corner cutter. So that is background, not counting casting aspersions on you. Switching over to SAC, there was a lot of feeling everywhere that it was edge based on inside information. Dell, in particular, quarterly earnings leaks went through Rajaratnam's outfit along with the alleged allegations. You worked for SAC for a while. You were in this network. Did you not think or know that a lot of insider trading was going on and this kind of information, regardless of the fact that you yourself had a great reputation?
Well, I think to be fair, that became, you know, I worked for Steve from the late 90s to the early 2000s.
Okay.
And that was not the, you know, I understand what you're saying because there's been so much media about
right.
that subsequent to that. But in that time frame, that was not what people thought, or frankly, wasn't what I experienced working there. So I would have to say, you know, from my personal experience, no.
Okay. Let me ask you a broader, beyond Steve Cohen, there's been some that have said that the insider trading on the street reached the level equivalent to everybody in baseball taking steroids to be able to compete. Did you have that sense?
Honestly, I really didn't. You know, it's interesting. I guess prosecutors need to allocate resources. And I would say in this day and age, information travels so fast. When Rajaratnam's firm was raided and he was arrested on the same day,
mm-hmm.
I would say that sent a shockwave throughout Wall Street. And that, A, the feds were using wiretaps, and it was a major eye-opener for the industry, and certainly people reacted to it. I think there's been a lot of confusion since then, and I think the government really exploited that, particularly in the case against Chason and Newman,
mm-hmm.
of what the law is. In the face of gray areas, the prosecutors really exploit the gray areas, and in this case, we're able to create a whole string of cases that were ultimately shut back, you know, turned back by the Second Circuit to say that they had gone too far. You know, you won't have to ask the question when they've brought over 100 cases against insider trading, is that actually overkill? And is that more for, like, personal aggrandizement? Because I can assure you the effect on the participants in the market were there only after a few.
All right, now I want to go into the accusation. Sam Endendakis, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, was in a Fed, whether it was an indictment or whatever, that said that you were provided inside information and you traded on it, which ended up being something he did not even testify to. Talk about that.
I think one of the things that gives great substance to my case against the government is at the trial for Newman Chason, Sam Adnakis, who worked for my firm, and we had fired actually 6 months prior to this for violating our compliance manual,
Interesting.
Sam and the FBI agent who had interviewed Sam both testified at the trial that they had not shared any inside information or the sources of inside information with me. That became the foundation for my suit against the government because that contradicted what was in the affidavit where they mentioned my name seven times about receiving inside information, albeit with nothing specific attached to it. And when we were able to figure that out, that those meetings between the FBI and Sam and the prosecutors took place 2 or 3 weeks before the affidavit came out, that there was a direct contradiction. I personally don't think that in a million years they thought they'd ever have to be accountable or answer for that.
Bethany, we're right down to the end. You're obviously known as a journalist who pursues the truth. Are you pursuing this because you believe David's 100% credible and this is an overreach story?
I believe that there was a mistake in the affidavit, and it's very clear there was a mistake in the affidavit, and that shouldn't happen. We trust the government prosecutors have an enormous, enormous amount of power, and they don't need to take more than they already have. With that power comes an enormous responsibility, or should come an enormous responsibility, to get the facts right and not to overreach. And it's very clear that in this case, there was at least a mistake, whether it was deliberate or not, I don't know, but you just don't want to see that happen. It should never happen. And so, yes, I am convinced. I don't know that David will be the bar for a case like this is very high legally, and I don't know that David will ultimately be successful legally, but I think morally he's in the right to bring the case and to shine light on this.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com. Find the station nearest you. Listen over the Internet. Get to our podcast. We'll be right back with Bethany and David. More prosecutorial overreach.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630. National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family, and you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Bethany McLean and David Ganek. David ran a hedge fund that was basically assaulted by the feds in New York, and Bethany's written an article on it in Fortune magazine called Payback Time. David, I want to know, explore now. You were obviously very well regarded, a philanthropist, big presence in New York City, a lot of investors in your hedge fund. What happened after, with all of that, after this came out?
I mean, I think it happened in sequences. The first thing right after it happened was I had to make a decision. You know, I had to first digest what happened on a real-time basis and then make a decision about what I was going to do about the future of the fund. After hiring two different law firms to do an unfettered investigation of everything that was contained in the search warrant to sort of wrap my arms around what had happened, I then had to make a decision about whether I was going to keep the business going or not. This happened on November 22nd. After the investigation happened on February 7th, one of my lawyers called the U.S. attorney from the Southern District and said, I think, I'd been sterilized by the investigation, internal investigation, they called the U.S. attorney and said, look, we think you've made a mistake here. And if you can't give Mr. Ganek some cloud cover, he's going to shut the business down. At that point in time, the raid was already very controversial. I think there was already a lot of people, at least in the Bar Association, very critical of what the raid represented. And the U.S. attorney told us that they can't help at all. And 4 days later, I shut the firm down. I liquidated an $8 billion balance sheet, and we returned all the money to the investors, not more than a month or two after that in early April. After that, my partner wasn't ultimately indicted until 15 months later, which is highly unusual, particularly in the face of a raid. Makes it look much more like a fishing expedition. And then after that, there was a trial, and then there was an appeal by the Second Circuit that reversed the conviction, and then the government tried to take it all the way up to the Supreme Court, where they were ultimately rejected, and then they had to vacate the charges. In that whole period of time, a lot of time was spent, supporting those efforts, closing the firm down, and, putting out tons of fire that, frankly, are just, at this day and age, finally getting put out. Wasn't until 2 years later that I actually, just 2 years from now, 2 years ago, that I decided to sue the government, which then launched this case and experience on a whole different path.
At the time this happened, had Goldman Sachs just taken a piece of your fund, right, for a significant amount of money?
Yeah, Goldman had bought a passive minority interest in my fund at the end of Q1. Once, I got a front row seat to seeing how the government handles this type of experience, of which I was arguably, frightfully, and blissfully ignorant, it became very clear that the government had done very little, if any, due diligence about what our business was, how we did business. They knew almost nothing.
Really?
And when you contrast that to the two-year negotiations that I had with Goldman Sachs to ultimately do a deal with them, they knew a lot more about my business when they bought that stake in it than the government even remotely tried to get to know. But yes, so a couple months, 6 months before this, I had sold a piece of my business to them.
What happened?
For several hundred million dollars, yeah.
The impact on your family and your friends and your position in New York City?
It was very hard. I mean, it was the government made it very public, and as Bethany referred to, and it's also in our complaint, you know, they wanted maximum press coverage for this. And that really ensured, I mean, the problem with a raid, unlike a trial, is you are completely guilty until proven innocent, not innocent until proven guilty. And the second they came off the elevators, it was a commercial death sentence. You know, reputations were killed and careers were squashed. You know, that made it very difficult. And, you know, the fact that there was such a big magnifying glass in all of this, it made things very hard for me and for my family and for, with respect to my relationship to New York City and the things that I was involved in. Like anything else, you know, I had people who disappointed me and turned their back on me. And the good news is we also had lots of friends and people who supported us through it and, you know, didn't bat an eye. But, you know, it's a hellish, I can't describe it. It's a surreal and hellish experience, and it doesn't go away. And, you know, the battlefield that you fight this on is completely unfair. I mean, if you think about it right now, I'm suing the government. The government tried to have the case dismissed, and the judge said there should be a trial. I am now having to fight an appeal by the government just to see if there's a trial. If we win this appeal, the government can then take that appeal to the Supreme Court, again, just to see if there can be a trial. There hasn't been a verdict.
Wow.
And the net of all of this, in my opinion, is one of the things is it makes it very hard to sue the government from a resource and time standpoint, A, and B, it really suppresses the truth. The U.S. attorney in this case spends a lot of time talking about integrity, criticizes cultures of corruption all over the, you know, different parts of the world. And yet, when I'm trying to find the truth out about what happened here, all they're doing is rope-a-doping me and bobbing and weaving, and it'll take several years if the truth ever does come out.
Wow. I don't know if you have kids or not. What did you tell your kids?
At that point, my oldest was, you know, just becoming a teenager, and I think it was hard for them to understand the complexity of what happened, but, you know, we tried to explain to them that, you know, very soon after this happened, that our life had changed very dramatically, and the family would be under a lot of stress. I mean, I couldn't quite explain the nuances and the complexities of what had happened, but, you know, it was something that they've lived with, you know, maybe not fully understanding what it was, but the trauma on all of us was very real.
Have you been told that what you're doing is, in a sense, maybe shooting yourself in the foot because you're keeping public your name and your involvement in all this as opposed to letting go of it?
No, I mean, I don't know that people, I can't speak to people feel that way, but I've gotten, you know, as this has marched on, and Bethany's article, which was, you know, I received a lot of compliments about it from the sense that it was very thorough and contained a lot of substance and, frankly, explained to people. A lot of people didn't quite understand what had happened in a very factual way and able to weed through all the complexities of it, which is very, very difficult. And that process and things like this interview and other things that I've done have really helped to bring an efficiency to all of this that is important for me personally, but I've kind of written off what my personal experience is. I can't control that. And I think the more important part of this that remains is there needs to be accountability for what happened. And as we move along, even without winning a verdict, which I'm confident if we can get to a trial, that will happen, there does get more efficiency and clarity does come to it. And the facts that will remain from all of this is that this was an effort by the government to effectively aggrandize themselves. All of the participants from Preprod or Rich Zabel all benefited greatly from this. There were no convictions and lots of lives destroyed and ruined, but, you know, Rich Zabel is now a partner in one of the biggest hedge funds in the country after leading the jihad against hedge funds. Preet Bharara has been on the cover of Time magazine, is the U.S. attorney from the Southern District, and a lot of people, you know, see his ambition and suspect he'll run for governor or something higher one day. All of these people benefited greatly from it, and to the extent the facts can come out, they can create accountability, and in this case, accountability, what my hope is, can create deterrence. And the fact that it's the highest office in the land, the Southern District of New York, you know, I think could potentially, or my greatest hope is, can have effects well beyond, you know, the people who are personally affected by this.
Well, I'll say the article is incredibly thorough, and for me, and I know a lot of people, that something that Bethany write will have 100% credibility. So I think that's what's driving a lot of the interest in this. And we're going to be back with another segment with both Bethany and David. Bethany's article, again, is Payback Time in Fortune magazine, and about whether David Ganek was railroaded by the feds.
In winter, you can practically hear your skin changing. Drying out, flaking, tightening, becoming itchy, irritated, and inflamed. You need the fast relief of Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing Anti-Itch Cream. Unlike regular lotions, Cortisone 10 relieves itch and irritation with 1% hydrocortisone, the strongest non-prescription itch medicine, plus 7 healing moisturizers. With Cortisone 10, winter can just sound fun again. Cortisone 10, feel the heal. Use as directed.
Biz Talk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the Biz Talk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from a best business source. Biz Talk Radio. Alexa, open Biz Talk Market Tips.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least 2 federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least 2 federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618.
888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
The following is an encore of Business Talk with Jim Campbell, a Park City Productions 06604 presentation. Learn more about Business Talk with Jim Campbell by following Park City Productions 06604 on Instagram, liking us on Facebook, or subscribing to our YouTube channel.
We're back with David Gannett, former hedge fund manager of Level Global, and Bethany McLean, investigative journalist. Bethany, let me ask you, the parts of the case that were legitimate, the uncovering of expert network information being passed along with inside information, or paths that came, say, from Dell but went through four or five levels involving secondhand reads. And what is your take on all that? Was the government fair to try to assume that meant inside in trading all along that line, or where do you come down on that?
I think that's a really good question, and the problem is, as David was saying earlier, is that the line really isn't clear. Part of any trader in the market, their job is a relentless quest for edge, to try to learn things that other people don't know, to try to get insight into what a company's earnings are going to be. And some people have argued that the government tried to criminalize behavior that was just a quest for information. And in some of the indictments that the government brought and the convictions that were later overturned, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals said, no, this isn't insider trading if the supposed tippee isn't getting any benefit from the information they passed along, much less does the tipper know of any benefit that the tippee is getting. That's not insider trading, folks. And I do think it would be helpful for everybody to have a brighter line about what is and what isn't insider trading, because if you think about it, part of a relentless quest for edge is market efficiency. That's what the market's job is. So it's hard to draw a line and say that's criminal.
Now, I was surprised to read that Barry Scheck, who runs the Innocence Project, would get involved in a case like this. And certainly, you know, defending a hedge fund guy is different than defending some guy who's been falsely accused, who may not have a lot of money, in a murder or something. Tell us how that happened.
Well, I really agree. And Barry Scheck and Nancy Gertner, and Nancy is an ex-federal judge from Boston and currently a Harvard law professor. And I think there's important symbolism there, very important symbolism. I'm glad you brought it up. Both of them do not stand with what my caricature is of the wealthy, successful, art-collecting hedge fund manager. And I can appreciate what that means to people who aren't in this world. And I'm sure they have the same cynicism about that, and I don't blame them for that. But when they saw what the facts were in this case, and they weren't putting their name next to mine just because I asked them to. They thoroughly dissected the facts of this case and were ultimately completely outraged by it. They're both amazing advocates for for what I would describe as an epidemic of prosecutorial abuse. And having them on board, I think, sends a message to the system and ultimately to the public that if the government can do this against somebody like me, we know they do it against people who can't defend themselves on a regular basis. That's a fairly well-known established fact statistically, if you look at the statistics. So the fact that they can wantonly kind of jump into this world as sloppily and irresponsibly as they did with me, it's a scary moment if you peel it back and think about what the implications of that are. And again, the primary outcome, and I would argue objective of all of this, was the enrichment of the participants. So their involvement is both great to have partners who are so smart and able, but the symbolism of it, I believe, is equally important, and they don't stand with people like me. They stand for people with people whose civil rights get trampled on a daily basis, which, you know, is something that is what the ultimate outcome of this, we hope, does something about.
At this stage, it's a crusade for you. Is it partially, or how much is it fueled by anger at the feds, and is there personal animus with Rich Zabel, who was the number two guy there?
Well, listen, I mean, I would say it's very fair to say there's an emotional side of this for me, 100%. I mean, how could you not be emotional about what's happened? But you don't make a decision like the one that I made to sue them based upon, or I don't think you should, at least, based upon emotion. It has to be based upon a strong underpinning of facts and a rationale, because the consequences of suing the government, besides, I've witnessed firsthand the damage the government can do to people and to a business. To continue to battle with them is a terrifying thought. And their power is immense, and frankly, from my perspective, they don't play fair. And so to engage in this type of battle, you can't just run into it emotionally, because that's how you're really going to get hurt. You have to have a combination of rationale and emotion. So this was a very deeply analytical decision that was underpinned by emotion, but you know, just to do this for emotion, there's just far too much risk involved. It doesn't mean that I'm not terribly upset and angered by
going the other direction. Other direction back. Do you think that the number two guy, Rich Zabel, had something out for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, yeah, just to fill in the facts there, you know, Rich Zabel, who was the number two guy in the office, is somebody that I've known for my entire life. I was a client of his father's law firm. His father, you know, it's one of the wealthiest legal law families in New York City. And his father is a partner in Schulte Roth Zabel. Schulte Roth Zabel is the largest hedge fund law firm in the country. When I launched my fund, his father walked me into the office and into their offices so that they could represent me. Rich had most of the prosecutors, you know, there's this revolving door where prosecutors spend time and then become, you know, defense attorneys at white shoe law firms and make lots of money. That's their right. And that happens all the time. Rich did that once, but then the second time he came back, he really parlayed it into what I call the A-Rod contract, you know, for prosecutors. So there was always this issue of, isn't it a bit bizarre that Rich Zabel has known me for 25 years and didn't recuse himself from my case? And in fact, the first meeting, and I wasn't at this meeting, that my firm had with the U.S. attorneys, he led the meeting.
Interesting.
It's always been a source of, it's been disconcerting to me, to say the least.
All right, Bethany, let's talk about some of the recent rulings, some of which have been setbacks to the efforts of the Southern District of New York. The Newman ruling, and then I guess there's a recent ruling about a case involving Billy Walters.
Yep, well, they're two different things. The Newman ruling, really, and this was David's former junior partner, Anthony Chiasson, as well, who was indicted. The government said, the Second Circuit said, the Southern District has gone too far. In essence, this isn't insider trading. And so it was a huge setback to the Southern District's campaign. And then what's happened recently is really equally disconcerting, because in this case that the government has brought against Billy Walters, it turns out that an FBI agent, and it it should be noted, an FBI agent who was on David's case as well, involved in David's case, had been leaking grand jury information to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. And so it raises this question of, it harkens back to the thing David had brought up about the raid and the publicity surrounding it. What is the government doing with leaks that are designed to put pressure on people who are caught up in these investigations? Is that fair play? And is there a publicity angle here for the government that is highly disconcerting and unethical?
Who is Billy Walters?
He's a famous sort of Las Vegas, at least my understanding of him is he's a famous, like, Las Vegas character who got caught up in this possible and alleged insider trading scandal.
Now,
I would inject that this is a case that also involved Phil Mickelson and potentially Carl Icahn. So this was a hornet's nest of publicity, which, in my opinion, is what just like something like Steve Cohen, you know, makes these guys go crazy.
We're going to be back for another segment with both Bethany and David. Bethany's article again is Payback Time in Fortune magazine, and about whether David Ganik was railroaded by the feds.
There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Bethany McLean and David Ganek. David ran a hedge fund that was basically assaulted by the feds in New York, and Bethany's written an article on it in Fortune magazine called Payback Time. By the way, that's one thing that really bothered me about that, now that I know who he is that it did not appear, and I don't want to appear defending this guy, but that Carl Icahn had anything to do in a nefarious way, and yet his name was put on the front page of the journal.
That would be factually correct. I think that is 100% what happened.
Now, I understand, which I also didn't know till recently, that they are going to be allowed an appeal of Matthew Martoma's case. Is that true? And
If you're asking me, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I had seen that as well. That there is going to be an appeal.
Is that kind of surprising, or they would accept it?
I don't know. To me, from what I know of the Martoma case, it was about as cut and dry insider trading as it can get. That said, one of the things that we've learned, unfortunately, is that the government's presentation of the facts is not always the whole story. And so there's always the possibility that there's information that we don't know and that would shed a different light on this. I don't see it. To me, the Martoma case, and certainly from people in the market who were there at the time, saw that as about as cut and dry insider trading as you could get. But you know what? I'm of the belief there could always be more information.
Okay, Bethany, let me ask you this. There's those that say that insider trading is rather victimless versus the mortgage crisis, which really destroyed a lot of individuals, et cetera, who lost their homes ultimately, as well as a lot of their net worth. Do you think that the prosecutors, the feds, the U.S. attorneys should have tried to put folks in jail for the financial crash rather than so much focus on high-profile insider trading?
Well, I think the insider trading investigation was a feint, a look over here, so that people don't focus on the lack of prosecutions after the financial crisis. There is a huge line between what we all perceive as ethical wrongdoing and what's actually criminally prosecutable. And so I'm not sure. I wish there were clear-cut prosecutions that could have come out of the financial crisis. The cases were not easy to make. They never are. Even in the case of Enron, the criminal cases were very, very hard to make. This stuff can be really complicated. So I'm not, when I criticize the government, I'm not saying they walked away from an easily prosecutable case. I don't see it. But I do think there was, the insider trading cases were a handy distraction.
Okay, now I understand, I don't really know what the legal term means, but the government has qualified immunity in these kind of cases where they are sued. Where do you come out on the odds of David winning, and how long do we have to go on this shoot before we get there?
I would never predict it. Government legal rulings are inherently unpredictable. It's a very high bar because qualified immunity means that you have to actually believe that the government, that their wrongdoing rose to the level of malevolence or total incompetence, or that they deliberately set out to lie rather than just making a mistake. It's a very high bar. And I would never try to handicap it. But I think David's done the right thing just by bringing the case and shedding light on this. And the mere bringing of the case may make prosecutors hold themselves to a higher standard, which they should do. They should do anyway. They have an enormous amount of power, and it should be used very, very carefully.
In the overall picture here, in trying to get control on what appear to be rampant insider trading on the street, overall, would you say that the SDNY has done good stuff and there was some collateral damage like David, which is really sounds brutal, but what about that?
Is this a question for me or for David?
For you.
I think probably they've done good stuff. There were certainly rumors for many years about SAC, and I think that deterrence probably is good, but the extent of the overreach is a little bit frightening as well. Why go to so much effort to destroy people and destroy firms if the insider trading isn't clear cut? And the publicity that accompanied the raids, the presence of journalists who were tipped off to the raids in advance so they could take pictures of FBI agents carting boxes out of firms, it's still, all these years later, completely unclear why they thought a raid was necessary other than for the publicity value. And so there's just a lot of disconcerting things that have gone along with it.
Okay, and the last word to Davis. David, I just want to give you a final shot to talk about this case and tell us what exactly you're doing now.
Sure. Well, just to put the case in its current, to bring you up to date, up to the minute on it, this month is the hearing in front of the Second Circuit. Again, this is the government's appeal. So that is pending, and then I guess the frustrating thing about this is even if we win, the government could still take this to the Supreme Court. Again, this isn't even a trial. It's just about having a trial, something that that two civil litigants could never do to each other. And personally, for me, you know, this consumes a decent chunk of my life. I have a family office that's involved with making different types of investments and has a charitable foundation, and that's more or less, you know, how I've put my life back together in terms of, you know, how I spend my time after, you know, losing the business. But I would inject one thing when you asked about the probabilities. There's no doubt that at the outset here, this was the probabilities of success here are almost unprecedented. But at the same time, you know, we sued 15 people. There are 15 defendants in my case. And when we went in front of the district court, if one person had survived the motion to dismiss, I think it would have been a tremendous upset. Right now, where we stand is all 15 people have survived the motion to dismiss, which was the most unlikely of outcomes. And as you referred to before, one of them is an FBI agent who's under criminal investigation right now. So the connecting of the dots on the culture of prosecutorial abuse is getting clearer and clearer. And I suspect the longer we chug along at this, as much as it will take a lot of time, that's the picture that will continue to emerge.
Well, I think it it takes a lot of integrity and guts and will, as you said, to try and take this case in part to benefit a lot of folks who don't have the resources you have to take on the government in a case like this. We've been speaking with David Ganik. He ran the $4 billion level global hedge fund that was taken down by the U.S. District Attorney of New York's office. Bethany McLean has written an article on this in Fortune magazine called Payback Time, and she's also the author of The Smartest Guys in the Room, The Amazing Rise and Scandalous Fall of Enron and All the Devils Are Here, The Hidden History of the Financial Crisis back of 2008. We really are honored to have both of them on. Thanks to Bethany. Thanks to David. We'll follow this story as it winds its way through the judicial system. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.